Hey, welcome to the Cloud Native Show at Microsoft Ignite. I ran into Ralph Squillace, and he was talking about cloud native application bundling. There's a lot going on here about cloud native applications. I'm gonna go find Ralph, and we're gonna talk about this brand new tool. Hey, Ralph, how's it going?
Oh, hey, Shane. Good to see you.
Good. I just saw your talk on CNAB.
Oh, I'm glad that's done, but it went really well, I thought.
Good. You know what? I've got a spot down the hall. Why don't we go have a seat and talk some more about it?
Yeah, I'd love to do it.
Cool. Saw your presentation on CNAB,
right?
And I'm looking at this and I'm asking, kind of, what problems are we trying to solve with this new tool? So can you give me an idea of what it is and what are we trying to solve with this thing?
Okay, so remember this is the cloud native show, right?
Yeah.
Okay, remember that we're talking about cloud native, and that really means that these APIs are the things that we use to move around our software, to build our infrastructure and so forth.
Right.
Once we get that ability, you're a developer. Mm. If I give you the ability to build this thing or that thing, but with a program, what are you gonna do? You're gonna start creating millions of that stuff. Why? Because you can. Mm. And it turns out that that lets you build really complex things, microservices and so forth. Okay, that's really all well and good. But now you've got functions, not just Kubernetes, which is the hot thing, right? But you've got functions and serverless, and you've got to set up some storage. And your storage might not actually be in the same place that your execution is.
Right.
Multiple planes of control, multiple APIs and tools. Now the difficulty is not necessarily assembling your app. What if you want to sell that app? What if you want to give it to somebody else? How do you do that? Mm. The README is 9 miles long.
Right.
Okay, is your virtual environment exactly the same as theirs?
Right.
All of a sudden it's your work, your brain, your knowledge that needs to be shipped to them in a package.
Sure.
That's where CNAB, Cloud Native Application Bundles, comes in. You're gonna need a tool to do that, and that's Porter, right? The specification that describes how to do this is CNAB.
So as I understand it, maybe I can maybe simplify it for the audience, is this is kind of like an MSI for my distributed application.
Yeah, if you're in the Windows environment because you've been there for a long time, you think MSI for the cloud.
Okay.
And this is open source, anybody can use it. It works on all the operating systems and so forth. So it's not even MSI for one cloud.
Yeah.
Right? It's MSI for everything. If you're in the Linux world, it's a DEB or an RPM for the cloud.
Yeah.
If you're in the Mac world, it's a DMG. Mm. Right?
So I can understand what you're saying is that, so recently I had a Kubernetes cluster I had to set up. I had an application that had 15 microservices on it. I did have some functions, and I was in fact going through that README step by step by step, and I kept hitting those roadblocks. Like, I didn't enable such and such service on my cluster, start over.
Right.
Right? Oh, that failed. I had to rebuild my cluster, and it's frustration.
Because that README is very long, if you forgot something in step two, the only way you can be certain that you're gonna do it again is to destroy everything and start it from step one.
Right.
That's extremely frustrating. Right.
And that's a waste
of your time and energy.
Right.
Yeah.
So is this just a Microsoft thing? Are there other companies involved?
No.
Okay.
So the specification is actually part of the Linux Foundation.
Okay.
This is a little complex, but the Linux Foundation has a special foundation inside it called the Joint Development Foundation.
Okay.
And that's where companies and communities can get together and write a specification and have it publicly governed. Mm. The CNAB specification is part of a CNAB project under the JDF inside the LF, which means there's foundations all the way down.
Sure.
But it's a publicly governed specification. Intel is there. Datadog is there. Docker is there.
Okay.
We have contributors, HashiCorp,
sure.
NYU, a whole bunch of collaborators in addition to Microsoft.
Okay. And we're all working together with them to create.
So for example, Docker App is a CNAB compliant tool as well.
Okay.
If you build an app with Docker App, Porter can install it. If you build an app with Porter, Docker App can install it.
And Porter is the CLI that we've created in to work with the specification.
Yes, that's right. So when you think of it, it's easy to talk about CNAB as a thing that you need to know. You actually don't need to know. What you want is the tool, you want the experience.
Okay.
And if you're an engineer, you'll eventually get into the specification itself.
So when I think about deploying distributed applications. Now, we'll put aside maybe some of the other infrastructure pieces like serverless, because I'm going to go set that up maybe on my own. I spent a lot of time and energy learning Compose, and before that it was Swarm, and now we're talking about Kubernetes, and I'm learning Helm charts and all of these tools. So how does this differ from something like Compose? Because I can put together, 15 services and I go Docker Compose up.
Right.
Or if I have Kubernetes, I can just say, apply and pass all of my deployment files and my service files, and that happens for me. How does that differ from something like that?
Well, so this is really everything that you've been using that is necessary to put together something in a single container.
Okay.
Right? It actually isn't different. So for example, I can show you where there's a bundle where we have Helm charts, Terraform, a custom binary that does some custom thing. Those special items, for example, it could be Docker Compose inside there.
Okay.
The difference is that Docker Compose is a specific runtime. What else do you have to do once you've got your services up and running?
I see.
So typically you would then do your Docker Compose, your Docker up with the Compose file, and that would all work.
Okay.
But then you're going to have to run a PowerShell script to do something else. Mm. Maybe configure a CDN. Maybe you do something in ARM. Maybe do something in Cloudflare.
Set some AD permissions.
Exactly.
Things like that.
You're going to have to configure the app at very least.
Okay.
And now Docker Swarm, Docker Compose is, that step's already done. Mm. What you do here is Porter helps you put the entire process in a bundle.
Okay.
And then you can just Docker pull, Docker push, metaphorically. It's a Porter install, Porter uninstall.
Okay.
But you can just do that from a URL.
I see.
I can show you.
And we'll get to that. I'd love to see a demo. I just have a few more questions around that, because this is yet another tool.
Yep.
Right? And it sounds like all of the things that this specification provides and Porter might provide sounds like something me as a developer,
right,
I might want to hand over to my ops team.
Yep.
Right, and say, this is your problem, because as a developer, I want to just write code and check it in and have something else handle that process, like a CI/CD process.
Sure.
Now, I remember that the first time I did Docker, I did Docker build, Docker run. I was like, man, that's magic.
Yeah.
Right? Is this another tool that I might use for a while and it's going to go away? I think that's always my
concern.
I'm asking a lot of questions, maybe in one question, but this is a concern that I have is, man, this is a cool tool.
Yep.
I'm going to go use it, and then maybe it's only for my dev test inner loop, right? Is this a production tool for me, or is this a production tool for my ops team?
And the answer is, it might be all of these.
Okay.
Because tools are just tools. You're an engineer. Mm-hmm. Look at the tools with some degree of skepticism, because you were the one that gets to make a decision.
Right.
Well, let's take an example from a developer standpoint. I built this application, or you built your application, your Docker Swarm application, for example. All right, but you're going to give that off, and you have to write the README for somebody.
Sure.
Okay. Once they take that README, they're going to want to automate that. Right? Porter allows you to do that, but it allows other people to do that for you by taking your README and putting it in a structured YAML file. They don't actually have to write the bash script or the PowerShell, or any of things like that. And once they do it, it's now part of your CI/CD. Now you yourself, the developer, you never touch Porter and you don't care. Mm. And that's fine. So from that perspective, it may be an ops tool. Because now that snapshot of that complex setup and that complex application is now immutable.
I see.
Right? And can be transferred throughout your automation system. It can be digitally signed. It can be downloaded, put in a trusted registry as an immutable entity.
Mm.
That's very useful for communicating your ideas to someone else,
right,
even though you as a developer didn't need it. But there are other places where it might be more of a developer tool.
Okay.
So for example, if you're in a small team or if you're in a department and you need to help other people set up your stuff, right? You might actually create a bundle simply because it's easy for you to do and give to somebody else. And now those people don't have to learn.
I see.
Your brain. In order to use your application, you can just say Porter install with a tag. And as long as they have the proper credentials, it'll install exactly the same way you built it to be installed. So it really depends on your scenario.
Okay.
It's an infrastructure tool.
So I know with Helm charts and obviously Docker files, Docker images, we have a place to store those so we can share them across other deployment places, like registries. So exactly. I can put it in Azure Container Registry or Docker Hub or even GitHub.
Right.
Is our CNAB bundles, are we able to put those in those types of places to share them
out? Yeah, exactly. Okay. So one of the nice things about a specification, not only the OCI specification,
right,
for example, Docker images, is that a CNAB bundle and its internal workings, right? There's an installation container by default. You can extend that, you can do other things. Those are all OCI images by default in Porter. And that means you can Porter publish to an OCI registry like Docker Hub or a private one like ACR or wherever you wish to do. You can even pull it off and serialize it if you wish, right? Bring it down to a local registry.
Okay.
They're just Docker images for the purposes of distribution, which makes network effect not now possible, not just with one Docker image, like one service, but in fact with your entire application plus its deployment and upgrade stack. That puts your brain in a container. That's why it's a very useful tool for network effect as well as immutability and distribution.
Sure. So who benefits the most from these bundles? Now, I'm going to maybe answer my own question because
go for it.
I'm going to go and think about now that my readmes, especially the last application I just installed with all these services, and go, hey, Mrs. or Mr. Engineer that you just told me to go and go through all this 15-step things, maybe you should go look at this CNAB specification, use Porter and build out all the steps, so I just have to click the button.
That's right.
Or do Porter install or whatever command is. I know that I'll benefit from it from trying to deploy that.
Right.
But is it also our customers who might want to be using this application? So do we see this as something we put in a marketplace where people can pull our apps and deploy it? We see how that's how we're going to now build these big distributable apps?
Sure. Okay. You can imagine that that would be very, very straightforward to do. In fact, we're talking with the marketplace about how we might do that with CNAB bundles right now.
Okay.
But it's not just... You can easily do that, of course, because it's an OCI image, it can be signed, it can be trusted, you can scan it, you can validate it, and offer it on a marketplace and also directly to your customers.
Okay.
What that does, is I think I've tried to explain, is that it gives the customers a unified, immutable install of your particular brain every time.
Right.
That increases confidence, it reduces your support costs and things like that, whether you're in a marketplace or whether you're doing doing customer work directly, for example.
Okay.
But there are other kind of little teeny features that you can do. Remember, it's just a container, it has a specification. So for example, I can actually generate a GUI installer for one of these things.
Oh.
So you can actually give a what seems like a visual MSI experience to a purely cloud-native bundle, right? To a customer that really isn't an IT pro, but does need and has credentials, does need to install one and has credentials. They can actually just plug in a USB key, metaphorically speaking,
right?
And launch an app and click install, add their credentials. In those environments, suddenly a bundle becomes, in addition to just being shareable and for your customers and trustable, being in a marketplace, for example. Mm. In those scenarios, you become extremely flexible for a much wider array of customers who don't have the technical level or of expertise that you do.
Okay. Now, do you have a quick demo we can run through? Maybe some of these simple, like show me what a bundle is and how all this stuff works?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's check that out.
So if we're looking at here, the easiest thing to do, we'll do a simple one. You can see that I've already installed it, but I want to explain it first. So Porter gives you the ability to grab a bundle and actually describe what you're going to do with it.
Okay.
Right? This is a pretty simple bundle. It's going to use Helm 3, which is the next version of Helm that's out there. I think it should be released, ready for production use very shortly, and if you're not using it, you should.
Yeah.
So we built a bundle, Exercise Helm 3. Now, if you need to install this, you're going to actually have to generate some credentials, right? I've already got one. You can see Helm 3 there. But you do that by going creds generate. And you can see you can just look at the tag. I don't have to install this. I can just point at the image, just like Docker.
Okay.
Right? It'll go ahead and walk through. You can actually set a specific value, or you can pull the value from a variable. In this case, I've already used a file path to my kubeconfig because that's all I'm using right now. So to install, we'll get this up near the top. So to install, you can see that I'm on the right specifying my particular set of credentials, which means I can use the same image to install in multiple different configuration environments, right? And all I'm passing is a kubeconfig. That's how that works.
Okay.
All right. Now this is a pretty simple example, right? And you notice that it's not only, it's done several things that you wouldn't normally do. It's already listed the releases, we don't have any. And then it's added a custom repo. So we've done two steps already. Once the repo is installed, it's now installing the Azure Voting app, right? And this, if the Wi-Fi is working, we'll wait. Once this comes back, we can now look at the cluster and see if it's been installed.
I see.
Right? It should actually be. We can go over here. Oh, there it is. And in fact, we could go and see the IP if we wanted to wait for the load balancer to open up, and we could look at the app. You can now look at this right here. You can upgrade if you wish. And we'll go ahead and uninstall it just to show the sort of easy workflow.
And I'm familiar with the voting app. It's one of our examples that we have out on the Azure repos.
This is, in fact, the same voting app from Azure Samples.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the same one. Now, that's a pretty straightforward app. Mm. Okay? But I can do all... Oop, there we go. It's unreachable. This is a Wi-Fi problem. I love conferences, don't you? All right. You'll notice, just to show you, that we still have our Hello Helm instance here. When we get Wi-Fi back, we can go ahead and uninstall it again.
Sure.
Right? If we do that, let's look at a little bit more complex example. One of the other features I can do is I can actually copy this somewhere. Here we have a bundle. If you've heard of our OAM and Dapper and Rudder open source projects that have recently come out, here's a bundle that you can use that installs Rudder. Okay? There's also a bundle, I have a bundle for Dapper. Think about the README for those projects.
Oh, they're huge. Yeah.
They're not actually that big, but because they describe all the possible ways of doing it,
sure.
You have to sort of think about it first, make sure your environment's right. Here you just go ahead and install it. It's already captured. So that's the ease. But notice I can copy this. So here I've taken a public CNAP, and this right-hand one could be ACR.
Oh, I see.
So once I decide I have a bundle that I like, I can actually pull it into a private repo, the trusted repo. I can put ACR scanning on that. I get geo-replication of it. All those things that ACR provides that I really want, in addition to trusting that that is my private registry.
And that's a good example, because I know that there might be multiple Docker images that I've done before where I'm pulling them down, I'm tagging them myself, and then I'm pushing them so that I've got like these five-step motions that I'm doing to take all of these large applications and move it into my private place.
Right.
Where these bundles have all of the steps necessary in order to do that. Now you've just replicated them yourself.
That's right. Now this, before we go away, I want to actually show you something really pretty complex that is more real world.
Okay.
Okay. This is a bundle that Jeremy Rickard, one of my developers, wrote and published. You can install it. We ran this demo at HashiCon.
Okay.
This bundle is kind of interesting. You'll notice it uses DigitalOcean in addition to AKS. Mm. This is a distributed app across the cloud. And one of the things it does is pretty complex. You'll notice we're using Helm and Terraform. It first creates a bucket in DigitalOcean that's S3 compatible, right, with a custom binary. Mm-hmm. We just drop the binary in, now it's available to be used from an exec, which is basically a shell out command.
Sure.
You just copy the commands that were in the README and add references to whatever credentials you might need to make that work. And then we're going to use Terraform. So now we've got multiple steps, different deployment tools. CNAB doesn't care, and your user doesn't care either. They don't want to use your tools. They just want to use your app, right? And this is what I'm saying. You can also specify some outputs, because we use Terraform to create a PostgreSQL database in DigitalOcean. And we're going to take those values and create, using Helm in AKS, a Helm chart that deploys an app on top of them that connects to DigitalOcean.
So this is, you're really bundling infrastructure deployment tool, creation deployment tools inside of this.
Yeah.
Right? So we're using Terraform inside of this. Terraform actually does infrastructure creation.
But it doesn't do every infrastructure. They've got a great set of modules and so forth. But look at this. Does Terraform do my little bash script?
No, of course not.
Or your PowerShell or whatever it might be, that little thing you need?
Right.
Drop it in, invoke it. Pass a parameter, here we're passing a namespace,
yeah,
and go ahead and it's just another step in your
so
installation.
So looking through this real quick, this is a very, again, it's readable, but it is a lot like a README where it says, go set up Terraform, do all these things, now go run this bash script and you're sitting there and you're waiting.
Yeah.
So what is the output, other than maybe standard out that I would see in my command lines as I'm running this, mm-hmm. I'm just sitting here waiting for this to run. I could execute this port or tool in my CI/CD process.
That's correct.
And then look at my logs, look for failures and act on those failures, also like in an Azure DevOps or something like that,
absolutely,
right?
So for example, you can imagine that you know you're in GitHub, you're in Azure DevOps or whatever. Not only do you build the bundle and push it to ACR, but when you detect that ACR has got a new bundle, you can now have a pipeline that deploys that as it should be. In fact, we can do that now in Cloud Shell. Mm-hmm. So you can deploy it from Cloud Shell, you can deploy it from Azure, but you can deploy it pretty much from any system anywhere, whether it's Linux or Windows, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look at this. I know I've got some .NET applications, .NET Core applications that have multiple
pieces and
parts.
I'd love to work with you. Let's go bundle some of that stuff up for fun.
Cool.
But the one thing I want to also say is if you're interested in the automation aspect of this story, you should pay attention to KubeCon. It's coming up in a little while. We're going to have a lot of fun things to show.
Now, where can people go and learn more about this? Do we have a repo? Do we have websites where we can go and look at this?
Yeah, we'll go over here. The website is Porter SH.
Okay.
Right? And it'll resolve as soon as we get that. And there's install, quick starts, community, other resources if you wish to watch videos, the developers, and here's the Porter DigitalOcean Terraform Kubernetes, right? One that we just discussed. There's a video of that exact application right here. This is the run from in. A couple other people, for example, here's Porter and CNAB in a completely different environment. Mm. So Nuno De Carmo here is an engineer in Switzerland who's doing wonderful work on his afternoons, in the evenings. He doesn't do this for work.
Right.
But he's decided to use Porter on Windows 10 with WSL to create bundles that he launches from Windows 10 that actually install a custom, specific image, Linux image that executes in WSL, and then inside that image, loads it up with a custom specific infrastructure set, including Kubernetes.
Nice.
Right? He's actually using Rancher K3D, right? K3Ds, all right? And then loads a specific chart inside K3Ds, and now he's got a perfectly reproducible test environment. That video is on there too.
Cool.
But you know, like if you think about it in cloud native, that's a local experience, right? And yet it's an extremely useful one.
Sure.
And Porter solves that problem as well as the cloud native distributed round the world application problem as well.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time running through all this CNAB, cloud native, how we can use this locally. Again, a Windows 10 example. We can put it in Azure DevOps stuff.
Yep.
Very exciting. I always like to see new tools.
Yep. And this will be one of the formats that's supported with the Azure Arc stuff that came out today. For example, they're going to be Kubernetes manifest are supported in an automated way.
Yeah.
Helm charts and then CNAB bundles will be supported as well.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, it's been a pleasure.
All right. That was another episode of Cloud Native Show. We're at Microsoft Ignite 2019. We hope to see you next time. Check out future episodes at aka.ms/cloudnativeshow. Thanks again.
Thanks for watching the Cloud Native Show. Be sure to subscribe, watch for a future episode, and especially our streaming shows on Twitch, where we build apps based on the conversations had right here. We'll see you next time.